I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. So many times I failed to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you gave to me. For giving your life, oh, what a sacrifice to save someone like me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. I thank you for the love that you've shown to me, for my family and my friends that you've given me, for always being there to show how much you care. Now I just want to say, Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say, Lord, I would like to say, Lord, I would like to say, I thank you.
I feel like the Holy Ghost has poured it in me, and now I want him to pour it out of me. See, that's what he does. He pours the Holy Ghost in so he can pour it out again. He don't give you the Holy Ghost just so you can have a picnic. He gives you the Holy Ghost so that you can bless others with that which God has done for you. And that's the purpose of that beautiful little course, Just a Yielded Vessel. Now, I want to preach this morning. Listen carefully now. I want to preach this morning on It Is Time for Holy Ghost Revival. It is time for Holy Ghost Revival. Would you repeat that with me all over the building, everybody together? It is time for Holy Ghost Revival. Now, I know that Holy Ghost Revival is coming. I read this book, I read all the way to the last chapter, and I know that the last thing the Bible promises is the preaching of this word. And he said in the end times, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I am believing for a lot of rain, outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I want it to start. I want it to start in this place this week. I want a Holy Ghost revival. Now, the Word of God is very plain about this wonderful work of the Holy Ghost. Let's begin with John 20 and verse 21. Then I'll let you read. I'll read three verses and let you be seated, and then I'll read more. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now, did you hear that verse? Let me read it again so that nobody misses it. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." The Father sent Jesus. Jesus is sending you. And as the Father sent Jesus, so is Jesus sending us. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of obedience. God has called us to be his vessel. Very important. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Can you see it now? Jesus standing with his 12, or maybe they were seated, and maybe he was seated, and he simply breathes on them. He breathes on them. Now, he's resurrected. He's been crucified. He's come out of the grave. And now he's been resurrected. Now he's alive forevermore. And he breathes upon his disciples. And when he breathes upon them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Jesus said, after breathing on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now let me take a moment. Remember, the breath of God is the Holy Ghost. Because the word breath is the same word as spirit. The word breath, the same original Hebrew word as spirit. So when he breathed upon them in the beginning, he created man from the dust of the earth and breathed upon him, breathed into him a living soul. And now here he is repeating that, but now he's dealing with the person of the Holy Ghost. And he breathes upon them and says unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice what he says will happen. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, that's one of the most startling statements that Jesus probably ever made in his ministry. He is saying to them, you are to receive the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, something so supernatural and so divine is going to happen to you. There's going to be something that takes place in your life. There's going to be something that occurs in you. There's going to be something spectacular that happens to you so that you will become such an evangelist. And such a soul winner, and so empowered of this Holy Ghost, that whosoever sins ye forgive them, whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained. Do you understand that in you is the power of redemptive life for other people? In you, he says, by the Holy Ghost, you will have redemptive power for other people. The Spirit working in you will bring sinners to forgiveness. Or the Spirit not working in you as you resist him will cause sinners that you know and that are acquainted with you to have no revelation of God and to be lost. Ooh, what a statement. You may be seated. Now would you keep your Bible in your hand and please listen carefully to your shepherd pastor. And let me try to say something to you that could change the lives of your neighbors, of your family, of your friends, whoever you know or knows you. You could become such a live wire in the Holy Ghost. You could become such a power full of the Holy Ghost. You could become such a vessel anointed of the Holy Ghost that you would be a soul winner. And that your life would have great embarrassing or bearing upon those whom you know. How many want to bless those you know? How many want to win your friends to Christ? Let me see your hand. How many want to see your family saved, your children saved, your grandchildren saved? How many really want a revival by the Holy Ghost? Throw your hand up there and wave it a little bit. Let me see if you really mean it. Do you really want God to use you? Do you really want God to use you? Well, then let him breathe on you. Let him breathe on you. Did you know that's really what happens when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost? It's like the breath of God just comes rushing down into their life. And they become filled with the Spirit of God. Do you see the connection? Do you see how intimate that is? Do you see how personal that is? How great and marvelous and supernatural that is? That God breathes upon you and you're filled with the Holy Ghost? You say, Brother Chambers, how hard is that? Not hard at all if you'll give up all of yourself. Make all you are available to him, and he'll make all he is available to you. Make all you are available to him, and he'll make all he is available to you. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1, and I want you to listen. I want you to get a picture of what Jesus had to say about this person of the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand what it really means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. what it really means to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need a Holy Ghost revival desperately. Our city is going to go to hell if we don't have a Holy Ghost revival and shake this city. Multitudes all around us are lost. Many of them got religion. They talk religion all day. They tell you all kinds of religious things about themselves, but we're talking about being born again. We're talking about becoming a new creature in Christ. We're talking about your whole life being utterly turned upside down and changed, and then God filling you with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, I love these truths of this Bible. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1, that's verses 4 and 5. And ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was unique in the life of the church. And Jesus was trying his best to show them the desperation of it. And so you notice in verse 4, he said to them that you depart not from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. But wait for the promise of the Father, for you have heard of me. Listen. And then he tells them about this great baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, a Christian without the baptism of the Holy Ghost is like an automobile with no gas in the gas tank. A Christian without the baptism of the Holy Ghost is like, you know, it's like trying to go swimming in a mud hole that's not deep enough to wade your feet in. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is so marvelous and so wonderful and so gracious. And oh, what difference it will work in your life. You'll never be the same. I'll never forget the night God filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was one special night. It was in a tent. And I was kneeling in a sawdust pile at the altar of that church. That tent, I should say. We was having a revival up at Glen Raven, where my wife had been raised and where she lived, just a few houses down the street. Not only did I get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that tent revival, I got that beautiful little woman sitting there in that tent revival. Oh, all the things were set for our marriage during the time of that revival. I don't mean she was agreeing or anything. I just meant God was at work. Hallelujah. And it was wonderful. Oh, thank God for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for filling me. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, raise your hand and thank God for filling you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, stick it up high. Thank God for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It'll change everything about you. You'll never be the same when God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 8 of chapter 1, Acts. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I want to preach this morning on it's time for a Holy Ghost revival. Number one, I want to deal with how important Jesus made the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How important he made the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I want to deal with Acts 2, the actual baptism of the Holy Ghost. And how this wonderful event occurred. And the power and the majesty of that moment when God poured out his Holy Ghost on 120 believers that had gathered in this upper room. Now, I want you to remember something as I preach. In the book of Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was 500 plus people listening to him. There was a cross from Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, from the place where he ascended up to heaven, and he was preaching and teaching over 500 people, telling them, don't you leave Jerusalem until you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was telling them what's going to happen to them, and making the emphasis so extremely important that there's no way to doubt the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A church without the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a good, maybe good, club. Maybe a good club. Maybe a good meeting house. Maybe a good place for friends. Maybe a good place even to hear some truth. A place to even hear the gospel. And some people get saved in those settings. Yes, I'm for it all. Every good thing that happens in a church, whether it's a Pentecostal church or not, I'm proud of every good thing that happens there. I'm not against it. I'm just here to tell you that a church without the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so limited. So limited, and that's a kind, nice way for me to say it. So limited. Because we are desperate in this hour for the moving of the Holy Ghost. And one of the most thrilling things to learn in the study of church history, you really learn this in church history. You learn that every time that God has ever moved in a spectacular revival way, whether it was in a Wesleyan Methodist or in a Presbyterian, as with Jonathan Edwards, or whether it was in a Baptist as D.L. Moody, it doesn't matter who the person was, every time there was a revival, there was a moving of the Holy Ghost. There was a deep, sovereign work that came right out of the throne room that moved through the congregations and the people. Oh, I love to read about the revival that occurred on one place. I'm trying to call the name of the island, but it's not coming. But I remember this gentleman who was a Presbyterian, and he was in a meeting on the body side in Europe, on the body side, and not of course in an island, but back in the homeland, and he was fixing to preach one night at a great rally they were having about revival. And while he's sitting there, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of him and said, I want you to go to such and such island. He said, I'll go, Lord. The Holy Ghost said, I want you to go right now. He said, I'm supposed to preach. He said, right now. They'll be waiting on you. And finally, the man got up, went over to the chairman and said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be able to preach tonight. He said, you can't leave tonight. You can't leave right now. You're scheduled to preach in 15 minutes. He said, the Holy Ghost told me to go, and I have no choice but go. And so he went exactly as the Holy Ghost told him, went down to the dock where there was boats, and there was somebody waiting on him. He didn't know they were going to be there waiting on him, but the Holy Ghost had planned everything. You see, when God moves, it's sovereign. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. The greatest need of this church and every church around here, Brother Johnny, is a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just getting an evangelist in town who's a good preacher. I'm not talking about just having a schedule of services. We're going to do that. I feel important to do that. But I want you to tell you, if sovereign God don't move in this place, it'll be just a few good services, and we'll shout a little and praise God a little and pray in the altar, and maybe somebody gets saved. But I want to tell you something. If a sovereign, holy, hallelujah, if a sovereign God moves, it'll be something beyond human flesh and human understanding. More. Somebody raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Do it, Holy Ghost, do it. I feel so desperate, Holy Ghost. I'm crying out to you, Holy Ghost. If the Lord's ever, oh, I'm hungry. Well, that dear old man got down to the dock and got him a boat ride and headed across the waterway to the island that God was sending him to. And lo and behold, the people had sent someone down to the dock to meet him, waiting on him, expecting him any minute. He'd be there. And he arrived and went right up to the church and got to the church, and there was maybe 50, 100 people gathered, and he had church and preached, and everything was kind of normal, nothing unusual, just kind of, you know, natural service, normal service, and the service ends and they dismiss, and he's standing at the altar, and a dear brother walks up to him and said, don't despair, Pastor. Don't despair, evangelist. You don't have to worry. It's on the way. It'll be here any minute. Just wait on the Lord. Just expect him. He never fails. It's a sovereign thing. And God's moving. And about that time, the Spirit of God moved down through that place. Oh, there's something strange when the Holy Ghost moves. There's something different. There's something unusual. There's something overwhelming when God's Holy Ghost moves down through a place. And the Holy Ghost moved down upon those Presbyterian people. And people began to cry out to God in repentance. The altars filled up. And people began to get saved. And lo and behold, here they came up the road. Walking on their way. No cars in that day. On their way to church. And came in and one after the other was getting saved, and the place was now packed and filled full, and it was going on to midnight and even after midnight, and wasn't long until someone came from the police department and said, sir, can you come down to the police department? We got people laying all over the street out in front of the police department, and they're crying out in misery because of their sins, and we don't know how to help them. Would you come and help them? And he went down to the police department and got people saved on the streets in front of the police department, and Holy Ghost revival broke out on that island, and hundreds on top of hundreds got right with God because there was a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'll tell you right now. Hallelujah. Keep me up here, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that's the need of this hour, is a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. And that's what he said. He said, when he has come, you will receive power. It's not normal power. It's not voice power. It's not psychological power. It's not a preacher with a persuasive story. It's not some tale that gets you crying. It's not just some religious experience. It's a transformation and a moving of the mighty power of the Holy Ghost of God, and sinners can't even hold themselves in their pews. Many times they wind up on their faces in the aisles because sin has done its dark damage, and they feel conviction. I'm telling you, that's why the Holy Ghost is absolutely imperative. You can't have a revival without the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? You can't have people getting right with God and really getting saved and getting the real thing. You know, people today come to church and they go to the altar and they come back 3 weeks later. You say, did they get saved? No, they didn't get saved. They don't. You get saved, you'll come back that night. I'm here to tell you. You get saved, you'll fall in love with the house of God. You say, do you have to go to church to get saved? No, you can get saved anywhere you are. But when you get good and saved, you'll fall in love with the house of God. You'll love an old preacher man who's telling you the truth and preaching with all his heart. Hallelujah. I want a Holy Ghost revival. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do when he moves. I don't know about you, but something is real in this house this morning. All night long, at least it seemed all night, I dreamt about Holy Ghost revival. And I was with a great big company of people, and everybody was saying, we're ready for Holy Ghost revival. And it was like all these people who had different ideas and different persuasions was willing to put everything on the altar and say, let's just have a revival. We'll argue about our theological differences later. We'll argue about our conviction difference later. Let's just have a Holy Ghost revival. Let me tell you, a Holy Ghost revival will take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. He leaves nothing undone. Oh, hallelujah to God. Desperate for the move of the Holy Ghost. Desperate for the move of the Holy Ghost. Anybody feel that but me? I feel desperate. Jesus said when he has come, he will convict the sinners of their sins and of righteousness. Hallelujah. Well, it's very evident that Jesus was telling us how important the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. He left no stones unturned. He left nothing undone. Holy Ghost revival can only occur if the Holy Ghost is at work. It's impossible to have a Holy Ghost revival without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it's impossible to get people saved without conviction of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to convict sinners. I can't convict sinners. I've tried 1,000 times. You won't believe how many times I've tried to convict sinners. You know what I succeeded in doing? Making them mad at me. Making them hate me. making them despise me. I didn't mean to. I was just being honest, doing my best, trying to win people to God. But you see, only the Holy Ghost can't get away from it here. The Holy Ghost wants to move. The Holy Ghost wants to breathe upon us. If you're ready, stand up, would you, and throw both hands in the air and say, Holy Ghost, take this church and take it and fill it full of your fire and fill it full of your anointing and turn it upside down, Lord, and bring sinners in here to find God, to get right with the Lord. I want a revival in my church, Father. Tell him you want a revival in your church. Tell him you've got to have a revival and you'll do everything you need to do. Fasting, praying, seeking God with all your heart, getting ready for God to do what he wants to do. Are you ready? I'm so hungry. I'm ready. I want it to start right now. Sinner, if you're in your seat and you know you're about to go to hell, if you don't get right with God, jump out of that seat and head down here and he'll save you this morning. We're not in any hurry. We want to get sinners saved. We don't want nobody to go to hell. We don't want nobody to be lost. We don't want nobody to be haphazard about this faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, fill these saints with the Holy Ghost. Fill every one of them with the Holy Ghost. Fill every one of them with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So they'll fall in love with Jesus and give him everything they are. Everything they are. And become holy and utterly and completely his. Hallelujah. Grant it, God, grant it. Try to be seated if you would. The book of Acts chapter 2. You got to hear this now. I want to show you what happens to people when the Holy Ghost really comes. When the Holy Ghost really baptizes. You say, Brother Chambers, this is in Acts. This is just history. This is the example. It is not history. It is history, but it's not just history. It is the example. It's the model. Did you know the book of Acts is the model of the church? How many knew that? The book of Acts is the model of the church. You said, no, it's Romans that's the model of the church. Well, that's okay with me, because I can take Romans and prove the same thing I can prove to you in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 11 said, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's Romans 8 and 11. That's about as good as Acts 2 and 1. Hallelujah. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal. Did you hear the word mortal? Your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you look about three-fourths dead. You really do. What's wrong? You're missing the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. You sit there in a service and you can't hardly get your hand up above your head and you wonder what's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong. You need to worship God with all you got. You need to pour it out to God. You need to give everything you are to God. You need to throw those hands in the air and if need to get on your feet and if it help you get in the aisles and praise him and magnify him and oh hallelujah, God's Holy Ghost will come. What they say, Beriah, hallelujah. I'm trying to read Acts 2. Listen to me, church. Brother Marlon. Will you just worship God? Brother Marlon, I declare we got to get on fire. Hallelujah. I feel like laying hands on folks this morning. Please forgive me. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost is wonderful. This Holy Ghost is real. Do you hear me? This Holy Ghost get a hold of you and you'll be more than a pew woman. Hallelujah. You'll be a pew filler. You know, many people are pew women. We need to become pew fillers. How do you fill a pew? Go get somebody and bring them to the house of God with you. Go get somebody. Oh, hallelujah. And bring them to, you say, they won't come. Bring them. Hallelujah. I told one man, if he didn't come to church today, I was coming to his house. And what do you know? He came to church to keep me out of his house. Hallelujah. You remember that, don't you, Bob? Hallelujah. I love God, don't you? How many of you love the Lord? And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they was all in one place, in one accord. Notice that word, one accord. How many of you feel one accord with Brother Chambers this morning? Raise your hand. Do you feel one accord with me? Let me see your hand. I was in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were seated. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, I'm telling you, this mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost is the sweetest thing that can ever happen after you're born again. I don't want to elevate it above being born again, because it's imperative you understand you got to first be born again. But when you're born again and you get utterly sanctified and surrendered to the Lord, so the Holy Ghost can take over and he fills you with his Holy Ghost, and you begin to talk in a heavenly language. You know, I've been full of the Holy Ghost 60 years, 62 years, probably 61 maybe. Speaking in the language of my Father has never failed to thrill me to the core of my being. I love it. I love it when that Holy Ghost begins to talk. I love it when I'm up preaching and I get out beside myself and I begin to talk in the language of the sweet Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a real experience. Now listen to me. The Holy Ghost is not a phantom spirit. The Holy Ghost is not some non-entity influence. He's a person. He's a person. Are you listening to me? How many understand the Holy Ghost is the person? There's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Ghost. And he's a person. And he is a person who is omnipresent. That means he is not held to one location. But within his being is the capacity to fill everything in God's universe all at the same time. And yet he's a person whom you can talk to and have fellowship with and love and worship and praise and hear from. Hallelujah. Oh, what a person he is. Can you imagine a person who fills the universe and yet wants to fill you? Can you imagine a person who can fill a man in Africa at the same time he fills a person in the Paul Creek Church? He is absolutely omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time, and he wants to come and dwell in your vessel. Live in here. This morning I was praying, and all of a sudden I found myself praising the Lord for his Holy Spirit. And I start telling the Holy Spirit how precious he was, how sweet it was that the Holy Spirit would come and inhabit a little boy like me with a peanut brain, and turn that peanut brain into the capacity to preach this glorious and powerful gospel. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he can take nothing and make something out of it. He can take a nobody and make a somebody. He can take a helpless creature and make an anointed vessel. He can make you sing. He can make you play pianos. He can make you play organs. He can fill you with a word and a mess. He is able to change you. Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to talk about this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost? When he laid this sermon on my heart, I was trying to figure out, where am I going? And the Holy Ghost said, I'll take care of where you're going. And boy, is he doing it. Hallelujah. He wants to fill you. He loves you. And when they were praying and seeking, they've been there 10 days. Hey, 500 plus stood on the side of a mountain and heard the Son of God talk about this baptism. 120, less than 25%, stayed in Jerusalem and went to the upper room and received the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what's happening in churches, Pentecostal churches. Most people don't want to pay the price to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and be a lazy church member. You're not going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and be an absentee part of the family of God. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and live in the world and love the movie houses and the dance halls and all the places of ill repute. I'm here to tell you, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you don't need a beer to go to sleep at night. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you don't need a drink of wine to try to relax from a busy day. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you don't need nothing this world's got. I'm here to tell you, you don't need pleasure. You're so full of pleasure, you're about to burst. Hallelujah. I feel so full of pleasure right now, I'm about to explode. Anybody in here that's about to explode? Put that on, sir. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I don't want this. If it's going to make me act like you, well, you don't have to act like me. Just act like a Christian and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody stand, would you? I don't know what time it is, and I don't matter. Hallelujah. Stand up with me, please. God wants to fill us with the fire of the Holy Ghost and give this church a revival. He wants us to have a Holy Ghost revival. Raise your hands and obey the Holy Ghost tonight, this morning. Oh, we got people here that so need to be in this altar. We got people here that need to be repented of your carelessness. You need to get on fire. You need to get on fire. How many of you really want to be on fire for God? You want to be so full of the fire of the Holy Ghost that it burns in you like a river. Hallelujah. It burns in you like a furnace, I should have said. Listen to me, church. Hallelujah. There is nothing as rich and wonderful as being His. Holy Ghost, talk to us. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Can you hear me, saith the Lord? I long to fill you with my spirit because I want to pour it out to others who know you and where you go and make you a witness. When you receive this power, you will be a witness unto me, and men will hear what you say and tremble at the conviction of my spirit. I call you to a place of utter abandonment. I call you to put your whole upon the altar. I call you to give yourself that you may have a Holy Ghost revival in this church, in this congregation, and reach your loved ones and your families. Come, saith the Lord, come and surrender to me. Will you stand up from your pew and come right down these aisles? I want you to stand this morning and throw your hands in the air. And I want you to give yourself, men on the right, ladies on the left. That's your right for ladies and your left for men. And come and find you a place in this altar. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm happy just like I am. Well, you better understand, you need this fire of God in your life if you're going to be used of the Lord. So come and throw your heart wide open to the Lord, will you? Come and throw your hands up. Everybody understand, send a friend, we welcome you to come down here and get a change of your life. You talk about joy, you ain't never had no joy like this joy. You've never had no peace like this peace. You've never had the satisfaction this will give you. Hallelujah. Everybody with their hands way up high, praise the Lord. Come as close as you can, as close as you will, and let's seek Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah. I need the men to lead us in this prayer. Pour out yourself, brethren. Pray unto the Lord, great God Almighty, that He will breathe upon this place. Hallelujah. 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 We want a Holy Ghost revival, Lord. We want a Holy Ghost revival, Lord. We want people in these altars finding what God has for them. Oh, there's nothing like the joy of a holy God. Now come on down close if you would. There's nothing like the joy of a holy God. He'll take us a brandy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and give Him all you are. I surrender all. I surrender to everything. I'm ready for a Holy Ghost revival in the Paul Creek Church. I want to win my loved ones. I want to shake the streets of the city. I want to shake the city council, the town. I want to be a blessing to my neighbors. Hallelujah. God move authority me. Hallelujah. Cry out to God. Saints, you pray. You pray. Hallelujah. Rise them and be under. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're believing for Holy Ghost revival. Father, we're believing for Holy Ghost revival. I surrender to be unto boy. I surrender everything, Lord. I'm ready to be an on fire vessel. I'm ready for God to take me. I'm ready for God to use me. I'm ready for God to fill me with a fire that I will stir up the community where I live. I'm ready, God, to have your way in me. Have your way in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I give it all on the altar. Oh, give it to God, will you? Give it all to God. Give it to God this morning. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Throw those hands in the air. Hallelujah. And cry out to the God of grace and mercy. He loves every one of you. He loves every one of you. He doesn't want one of you to go to hell. He don't want one of you to be lost. He wants to save your children. He wants to save your grandchildren. He wants to save your loved ones. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give it all. Lord, I give it all. Lord, I give it all. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would you take this, Brother Johnny, and pray? Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, oh God, we come to you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. My God, we want a Holy Ghost revival. We want an awakening. We wanted God to go out these four walls everywhere we go. Your spirit, your power, your conviction, God. Hallelujah, like in walls and acts. Oh, my Heavenly Father, give us the desire. Oh, God, and the hunger and the thirst. Don't let me be average, God, with a God so omnipotent. Oh, God, don't let me neglect such a great salvation, such a great promise of the Spirit.